Bill Plaschke, Sarah Spain, Monica McNutt, Frank Isola. Week one of the college football season. Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, Miami. Yeah. Let's go. But before
UCLA, LSU, before we go,
can we grade the effort on this fan at the U.S. Open last night? Yo, wow. Frankie.
COVID.
Oh, no. Not touching the COVID ball.
What is that about? Look at your reaction, too. You're so forlorn.
New York fielder.
Why are you so sad, Frankie?
It's only a
typical New York fielder.
You know, the best fans in professional sports.
The greatest. That's the best.
But the worst that fielding tennis balls. Oh, you're losing points. All right, let's talk college football. Yesterday, we had musings on the trap game. You know, whether you could have one in your first game or whether it's just a first game. Ohio State, Minnesota was tight early. It was tight halfway through. And then the 5-touchdown second half for the Buckeyes, all long scores, as a 45-31 win. First career start, first career win for C.J. Stroud. What did you learn about Ohio State, Frank Isola? Dig yourself out of this hole.
Well, guess what? They still were a 14-point favorite. They won by 14 points. This is how good Ohio State is. When they play a game like that, and their defense needs to get better. Think about the way that we judge them. They're on the road at a Big Ten game. C.J. Stroud, his first game. Think about all the times you made our debut on Around the Horn. You want to be judged on your first ever appearance? First half, 58 yards, one interception. He was lights out in the second half. Cut the guy some slack. He's replacing a guy who's in the NFL, for crying out loud. It was his first game. I thought he did okay.
Bill Plaschke.
Frank, nobody's getting on Stroud, but everybody should be getting on the defense. You made a great point. They gave up 408 yards to Minnesota. Defense doesn't change. And they have Oregon coming in this week. Can they fix the defense in time to slow down Oregon next week? I don't know. So Stroud was good and good enough. He's got great playmakers around her. He's got a good offensive line. He'll be fine. The Ohio State defense is an issue and could lead to them losing next week at Oregon.
Oh, I love you, Bill. We already got issues. Oh. We already got issues. September 3rd. Sarah Spade, how about you?
I don't blame Bill if people are concerned about the defense and sort of the uneven play, but it was the first game. And what we saw out of C.J. Stroud was really what we expected. He hasn't played meaningful football for, what, like 2 years? Mm-hmm. We also heard before the game, though, that his teammates and his coaches were extremely confident in him, and that's what we saw in the second half. That was what was impressive. That's what stood out to me, that after those struggles in the first half, Ryan Day was like, let's just go big, right? Let's just go big. I'm not gonna take it easy on you. I'm not going to make it simple. I'm going to let you air it out because I trust you and believe in you. And that's eventually what got them to the win. That's what I would be looking at if I was an Ohio State fan, more so than the unevenness of week one.
And Monica McNutt.
Well, I think it was about what you expect from a team that's ranked in the top five in the AP poll. Sure, the first half looked like they were sleepwalking a little bit, but I think we forget Minnesota was trying to get that win too, and Ibrahim had a terrific game before he went out with injury. Ultimately, it was just the caliber of athlete that's a little bit steeper than what Minnesota had, and that third quarter broke the game.
Plaschke, back in.
This just goes back to the fact that Ohio State can dominate Big Ten and mediocre Big Ten teams. Can they play and win on a national level?
Oh,
I didn't see that yet.
You're already there,
Bill. Against the Pac-12.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
Week one.
408 yards.
Minnesota was 11-2 seasons ago.
No, Plaschke, you're doing pretty good with Plasmas 1. You know, you dominate that Plasma 1.
I didn't drop a tennis ball.
What you do against Plasmas 2, 3, and 4 is really how you'll be judged. Wow, week one. Which is really week two because there were games last week. But week one, to start with Alabama, Miami, and Georgia Clemson out of the gate. Boom! Bryce Young's first start for Alabama. And DJ Uiagalelei, once again, the man for Clemson. What we can learn from a week one top 20 matchup, Bill Plaschke, specifically Clemson and Georgia, right out the gate.
This is really unbelievable. They're playing so early. I'm stunned. These two great teams are putting it all on the line. I think Clemson has to win this game or it cannot win a national championship because its schedule, its strength of schedule moving forward. No, listen to me. Listen to me, Tony. Its strength of schedule is 40th. It ranks 40th in the country. They're not going to play anybody else. They're not going to have any room to get back. They lose this one game. They're not going to have room to get back into the top four. Georgia can lose this game because of the SEC, but Georgia's going to win this game. JT Daniels, we're going to see him. This is his coming out party this year. He's going to probably win the Heisman, a former USC kid. He's great quarterback.
You've already got Heisman winners.
Clemson cannot afford to lose this game.
Can you say the words again? Tomorrow's a must-win game for Clemson. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely. Anybody, you must all agree with this. This is
Barrett. Go ahead, please.
No, we don't. We don't all agree with
Sarah.
We are not surprised, though, that you're already saying it's over when it hasn't even begun yet, which is pretty wild even for you. I think Clemson's going to win this game. Georgia has struggled with those top opponents. They have some pretty key injuries that are going to make it difficult for them. But to your point, Bill, Georgia actually has a pretty easy schedule. They won't have to go up against teams like Alabama until and if they're in the SEC championship. So if they keep it close but lose and then they go on, they still have an opportunity. So I think as much as we love to play the game of every game counts and if you lose now, it's over, that's not the case. There's so much that can happen between this weekend and when the committee has to make a decision. That I don't think this is a must-win for either team, but I do think Clemson's going to win.
Monica McNutt, are you with Plaschke here? Must-win game in week one?
Mm-mm. He's never with me.
I don't think so. I think ultimately both of these teams get a tip of the cap from the committee and all the powers that be in terms of taking on this game so early in the season. I actually think it means a little bit more to Georgia when you think of the programs historically. Georgia's, well, not historically, but in recent history, I should say. Georgia's been right there, and yeah, they got to go up against the behemoth that Alabama is in the SEC. They need this win. I think there's a little bit more urgency here. They haven't gotten one versus Clemson since 2014.
Frank Isola.
See, Bill's being slick. He's doing everything he can to get a Pac-12 team in the college football playoff. That's what he's trying to do. And Tony, bravo to you for getting the name of the Clemson quarterback right. All I know is that his name is not Trevor Lawrence. So that's going to be interesting to see how he does.
Last
I think
year.
For Georgia,
I mean,
though, I'll go with the must-win for Georgia from this standpoint. You lose tomorrow or this weekend, and if you make it to the SEC championship game, you play Alabama, you're probably going to lose there. Two losses, you're not going to get in. So I think for Georgia, it's a bigger game than Clemson. Clemson will get in, I think, with one loss. It's not going to be Georgia.
Who are they all going to play?
You say this every year.
That's how this college football is.
I understand, but in the end, here's what college football is. It's a committee saying, who do we like more, Georgia or Cincinnati? Yeah. And then we all know what happens.
Georgia with two losses.
Oh, is it Clemson or is it Central Florida?
Somebody had COVID.
Plaschke, you said the words. You got Georgia in this game.
Yes, and you name one game. All y'all, name one game Clemson can play that can rescue them if they lose this game. Name one
North
team
Carolina.
They can beat
North
that
Carolina.
Can rescue them. Oh, whoa, but North Carolina.
Name one committee that is going to pick, and I love, name one committee that's going to pick Central Florida over Clemson when it comes up. It just, it hasn't happened. I would love for it to happen.
I think they would.
It hasn't happened. Anyone else? Everybody else got Clemson? Sarah? Monica?
Clemson.
Monica, you were teetering a little bit.
I said Georgia.
Okay. Georgia.
I said Georgia.
All right, so that's three for Georgia. And then at Alabama, Miami on the other side. I know you. Here it is again. Oh, Alabama's a dynasty. This is not good for college football. Give me expectations for Bryce Young, Sarah.
Well, first of all, I just love that we're having that conversation about anyone other than UConn women's basketball. Like, we used to pull that out every time they had success. Finally, let's talk about a men's team that's ruining everything by being
there. It is.
Expectations are extremely high. I'm not going to lie and say I've watched a bunch of this kid, but the fact that there are the kind of pedigree of quarterback that has come out of Bama in recent years, and yet people are still saying they expect him to be the best of the bunch, that is an extremely big expectation. I think it's lucky for him that he's going to go up against a Miami team that I just don't think is going to have enough. It's going to be a win for Bama.
Well, not only is Bryce Young young, but he's also got some young guys that he's going to be looking to find in terms of those skill positions. I got to say, I'm kind of curious how NIL comes into play here. He's already pretty much paid, and now he has an opportunity to come out on the field and put his money where his mouth is,
you
or
think
vice
that,
versa. Something.
Good for him.
That could be, I don't want to put words in your mouth, a distraction or on the side of him on the field. Go ahead.
I am all in on NIL. However, just like anytime we cross a new frontier, there's going to be some casualties. If things don't pan out, we see how willing kids are to transfer just to go to another school for an opportunity. If the money's already in the bank, who's going to sit out thinking that they can protect themselves for their NFL future?
Frank, you all know about new frontiers. You went from Long Island to New Jersey.
He missed a tennis ball. He couldn't catch a tennis ball barehand.
All right.
I jumped over Staten Island. But here's what I'd say.
How dare you? We're going to move on. One more story.
Well, there's more. By the way, there's pressure on him, number one. And to Monica's point, name, image, and likeness, people are going to be saying, hey, wait a second. We're paying you a lot. You got to perform. I think there's a lot of pressure on this kid. This is a new frontier.
One more story that is unique to the opening week of this season. It's happened before, but South Carolina, Eastern Illinois. South Carolina's starting quarterback was their assistant coach, Zeb Noland, who is a grad assistant coach. He can do this by rule. He had a year left of eligibility. He last played last spring for North Dakota State. He was Trey Lance's backup for the North Dakota State team. What do you think of this, Sarah? Do you think this is okay?
I love this. You got to find someone where you can get someone. I also think that he's going to be under a lot of pressure to know the plays perfectly, to get everything right. Because
coach,
if you got a coach in there that's just been telling you how to do everything, and then you get in there and you can't do it yourself. We always say those who can't do teach. Well, maybe in this case, you better know how to do both.
Monica?
I'm in on this, too. It certainly beats having the guy that played quarterback in high school last and is really not his position at the collegiate level. I want to see what this precision looks like from this leadership position.
Uh-huh. Frank Isola?
Maybe South Carolina found a loophole. You bring the guy in under the idea that he's going to be a grad assistant. You could work with him at a time when you're not supposed to be practicing. Next thing you know,
what a conspiracy theorist you are.
Of course you went that way.
Though.
All right. Well, I was wondering if someone felt that way, but I'm not surprised at you. And Bill Plaschke.
I love this like everybody else. UCLA has 16 kids in graduate school on their team. College football has become a place where people can come from all different areas, all different forms, all different types. This is tremendous.
Those who
watch out, Ohio State.
Those who can't teach. Arm Plasma 4. Frank Isola, minus 3. We're in Arm, we're taking a break here. Continuing our coverage of the Paralympics this week. Imagine for one second what it takes to train, qualify, and compete at these Paralympics. And now in that imagination, add that you are a refugee. God, fleeing from your home country because of conflict, trauma, and tragedy. 6 athletes at these games competing far from home. Parfait Takizamana, straight from a refugee camp to Paralympic Village. He was shot as an 8-year-old during civil war in Burundi. He competes in Taekwondo. Abbas Karimi fled Afghanistan, born without arms. He swims just as he eats and showers and dresses and drives gracefully. Aliyah Issa throws past the smallpox that left her impaired in youth and throws bullies along the way. 6 refugees representing 80 million in the world, larger than so many other countries, competing far from home, but at home at the Paralympics. By yourself, next.
That's awesome.
Wow, those are really
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person, too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season. At the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
San Francisco Giants, 85-49. The Los Angeles Dodgers, 85-49. They are 8-8 against each other this season. The run total in those games is 68-68. That's how tight they are. And they meet 3 more times this regular season, starting tonight. The question is, who are you buying this weekend? And why am I doing this? Bill Plaschke, I'm going to start with you here. Okay, Bill, who are you buying this weekend?
All due respect to the surprising Giants.
I don't believe that.
This is the Dodgers. This is a Dodgers weekend. This is the weekend. They pass him up and don't look back. The Dodgers have won 16 of 19. Betts is healthy. Seager's healthy. They're hitting their stride. And the second two starting pitchers in this series for the Dodgers is Urias and Buehler. For the Giants, it's TBA and TBA. Poor TBA is going to throw his arm out. He can't pitch back
to
back.
We'll take care of your jokes. You can go to the side for a second. You've got the Dodgers. Sarah Spade, how about you?
I mean, I hope for Bill's sake he's right, because how many games do they have left to get to 116 wins? I think it's getting close.
Yeah, they need to win out. There you go, Sarah.
I do think the Dodgers are going to win. Even as they've been up to this point, it does seem clear that the Giants with Longoria and Flores and Solano and all the injuries just are not as strong as they've been in the team that got them here, and I'm worried about that down the stretch. So I think the Dodgers take the
Monica?
I actually am going to buy the Giants finding a way. I get it. This is a team that's injured, but they've been able to piece it together up until this point. They're confident. You can definitely say that. They're leading the league in home runs and in multiple home runs per game. This could be a little bit of a trap game for the Dodgers. Don't get ahead of yourself. Things happen in baseball.
All right, guys, still alive.
Dodgers are the best team in baseball. Mookie Betts has missed a bunch of games. Same thing with Clay Bellinger. It seems unfair that they got Max Scherzer and Trey Turner at the deadline. It's theirs to win. Cody Bellinger. Too bad the two teams don't play in September again after this series. But remember, Dodgers do get the Padres, and that could be A for the wild card and also for the division late September. So be careful, Bill.
They still need 27 more wins to get to your number, Flash Gear. Are you going to try to roll in postseason wins to get to your number?
Clay Bellinger was a Yankee. No wonder Frank said that. Yeah.
Wow.
We'll move on. How the U.S. men's national team started their World Cup qualification? 0-0 versus El Salvador. Coach Greg Berhalter indicating they'll take the point and move on. Quote, we'll take the point and move on. End quote. Frank, by yourself.
Yeah, that last header right there by Weston McKennie, he should have converted that. You go on the road in these types of situations just to get a point is a big deal. Remember, the last time United States played a big CONCACAF road game, we lost to Trinidad Tobago 2-1 out of the World Cup. So to get 1 point, the first one, you can
lose. So this is all right by you, Frank. 1 point is enough, although you have -3 right now, so 1 point would be more than
enough. On the road.
Monica, how about you?
It's like Mom used to say back in the day when she gave you an instruction, you don't have a choice. This is what it is. But this team is super young. Tyler Adams, the captain, is just 22, and we've watched this team struggle. It didn't magically get better overnight. Take the point, you move on. You don't have a choice.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, I think what Frank was saying, which is very true, is World Cup qualifiers, just getting a point, especially on the road, is difficult. In fact, only one team last night got a win. That was Mexico at home in the final minutes. So them getting a point, playing in front of a rabid Central American crowd, figuring out what that's like for next time, and being able to keep moving on instead of immediately being out, that's better than nothing.
No flash.
Yeah, the soccer community needs to chill out. U.S. has won only 8 of 31 games on the road. This last 31 in CONCACAF, it's hard to win these kind of games. There's a bunch of players in their first World Cup qualifying. Like Monica said, the armband was worn by the youngest player who wore an armband ever for the World Cup qualifying team for the U.S. Give them time. They'll be okay.
He's a New Yorker, Bill. Tyler Adams.
Fire Cell 3 top candidates for Big 12 expansion. BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston. Sarah Spain by herself.
I'm buying it. It gives them some presence in big TV markets. And while none of those teams can get what you're giving up with Oklahoma, they're certainly at the level of the Longhorns. And you're going to need to have better production out of those teams so that that 12-team expansion happens and you get those automatic bids. You're sending a representative that represents you well. So I'm here for it the way everything's gone in college football.
Monica?
I know that this is driven by football, but I started to think about college basketball, and there I like it. We know what Kelvin Sampson has going on at Houston, a very formidable team. BYU is a perennial team, or pretty consistently in the NCAA tournament. Cincinnati adds to the mix. I like it.
Frank Isola.
Yeah, these are the teams that want to get into the college football playoffs, so you join the Big 12. I think it's a great move for the Big 12 and also those four teams. Absolutely.
Flash.
Yeah, these conferences are all about geography and market size and money. You bring in Orlando, you bring in South Texas, you bring in BYU's national reputation, and you bring in Cincinnati in the Midwest. It's a great move for everybody. Mm-hmm. See, I can't be positive. UCLA. I can say something nice about somebody.
And since you were so positive, now you're in positive numbers. How do you do it, Bill?
Thank you.
Frank,
as long as I be Frank, I don't care how
today?
I finish.
What is this?
As long as I beat Frank, I don't care what happens.
What is this thing, Flashy? McNutt trounced
you. I beat Frank.
Isola.
You control the scoring. Ask yourself.
Hey, Frank, hold on a second. All right?
LA
this is the
New
tennis
York
ball
again.
At the U.S. Open. Catch. Ready? That's it for that.
Over my head.
Monica McNutt, Sarah Spade, showdown. 2 minutes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
U.S. Open last night. Jensen Brooksby hits the shot around the net. Around the net. This is legal. Even though it's well below the height of the net, it's legal. Is that a good rule or a bad rule, Sarah Spade?
That's a good rule. You get the hustle play, and you don't have to go over the net unless that's required to get it into the opposing court. So I think you value a guy who gets the hustle like that.
It's 100% a good rule. I didn't know it was a rule, but you just play. It's the effort. I got the ball back over, and it works. Sure, great.
You didn't get it over. You got it cut. I mean,
to the other
if
side.
Ants were playing tennis, the net that they would have, that's how high that one was yesterday. I like the rule, too, though. I mean, reward the effort. Here, split the point. We'll move on. Showdown two. Let's stay at the U.S. Open.
Oh, boy.
Evaluate the effort by the fan on this play right here, Monica McNutt, go.
Well, there was an arm reach, but there was no extension of the hand. So there was slight extension of the hands, very little effort. And then it's the chin movement to me. You try. Don't deny it. You try.
Sarah.
You know, I'm just learning about the way things go in flushing. But I think based on this lack of effort and execution, Frank would have to not only boo himself, but also a thumbs down. That's how it works in flushing, right? That's what happens when you don't give effort.
Let's hear from this fan. Let's hear from Frank. Yeah. You want to defend yourself? Go ahead.
First of all, I'm there to watch a tennis match, not get a ball. The people behind me kept talking. Every time Djokovic hit the ball, they would yell, bam. Oh. I said, you know what? Maybe I'll give him a ball.
They were
I
talking.
Can catch. I'll prove it. Somebody throw me a ball. Throw me.
Oh.
Frank. Not good.
Yeah, give me another chance.
Shot at U.S. Open fans. How dare you, Frank?
The people behind
me
were talking.
Shot.
Oh, Frank, I'm so
Sarah Spade, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Every once in a while, our country collectively comes together to celebrate or be amazed by a college football kicker. And this year, it is going to be Brendan Hall from SMU. He is 6'8". He weighs 232 pounds. He is known to kick up to 74-yard field goals. His high school was the Springtown Porcupines, and his coach told him to be careful with the weight. If he gets up to 290, he's going to make him a tackle. We are going to love this kid. He is going to bring the booming leg and also just scare all of us, and he is the one kicker that none of us will ever try to pick a fight with. Brendan Hall from SFU. Keep your eyes out.
Good win today, Sarah. Can
you catch?
Today for Monica and
Phil
and Frank, thanks for appearing.
Frank,
yeah, sure. All right, we're on a
the fans
actually, we're
Frank.
Off Monday. We'll see you Tuesday.
Magic.